This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan is on vacation. The National Institute of Child Health and Human Development has just published the findings of an extensive study on how daycare affects the behavior of young children. While most of the children followed by the researchers did fine in daycare settings, a minority of the kids exhibited more aggression and bad behavior at home and school. This outcome was affected by a number of factors, including the length of time spent in daycare, the socioeconomic status of the family, and the sensitivity of the mother to their children's emotional needs. What can parents do to assure that their kids get a high-quality daycare experience, and how much of that has to happen at home? Later in the program, we'll talk about the state of the American economy, but first, the ongoing daycare dilemma. And we'd like to hear from you. What questions do you have about daycare's effects on kids, and what would you like to know about choosing quality daycare for your own children? Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address, TOTN@NPR.org. With us now is Kathleen McCartney, one of the principal investigators involved in the government study. She's also a professor of education at Harvard's Graduate School of Education, and she joins us from a studio on campus. Thanks for being with us, Kathleen.
Thank you for inviting me.
Can you just review quickly the sort of key findings of this study?
Yes, I can. Since 1991, we've been following a group of more than 1,000 children. And we looked at the association between the number of hours that they spent in childcare and teachers, mothers, and childcare providers' ratings of their behavior problems. And we found an association between hours in childcare and behavior problems such that the more hours, the more likely it was that the adults who knew these children would rate them as having behavior problems. But the effects are small, and I think that's important to highlight. Most of the children didn't have problems that were severe enough to warrant clinical intervention. The other caveat I would like to mention is that the family effects were larger. So variables like maternal sensitivity and poverty had larger effects than did hours in childcare.
Now, did the study follow kids both in daycare and out of daycare?
Yes, we did. We followed these children no matter what their experiences were. So we recruited them at birth. We literally recruited their mothers when within 24 hours of having given birth. And wherever the children went, we went. So if they were in child care centers, we went there and we observed. And if they were at home with mother, we went there and we observed. Some of the children were in and out of care. Some of them stayed in care for significant amounts of time. It really varied.
Now, the publication of this study was delayed. Why? What were some of the concerns?
I don't think the publication was delayed. 2 years ago, we presented these findings at a conference that was sponsored by the Society for Research in Child Development. And that presentation received quite a lot of press coverage, as you may recall. But it takes a while for researchers like us to write an article, submit it, have it peer-reviewed, and then to have it published. So it's taken 2 years for that process to happen.
Now, it was also accompanied by, the publication was accompanied by commentaries by a number of experts with a variety of views on this study, right?
Yes, it was. Eight groups of researchers wrote commentaries, and I think that's really a nice part of this publication because right away we're having people react to our work.
And they reacted very differently, and I'm just wondering, what does that say about not only the study but this issue, that there may be so many different takes on it?
I think there are a lot of takes. I mean, it's a very controversial and politically charged issue, and one of the reasons for that is that the use of child care is really relatively new. I mean, 30, 40 years ago, most children weren't in child care, and now more than half of infants in this country are in some form of child care. So it makes sense to me that parents, researchers, and policymakers would all want to know what the effects are.
All right, let's talk about some of those key findings you mentioned, some of the issues here. Perhaps the most interesting is the sensitivity of the mother being more of a predictor of child behavior than anything. Why is that?
Well, I think parents are still the predominant influencer in their children's lives. So to measure parent sensitivity, we were in families' homes videotaping, and then we would have teams of researchers poring over the videotapes looking to see if parents responded appropriately to their children or whether or not they were harsh whether or not their expectations were developmentally appropriate, that kind of thing. So even if a child is in full-time child care, they're only there Monday through Friday, and they're spending mornings, evenings, weekends, holidays, vacations with their parents.
Yeah. And what about length of time spent? Let's talk about that a little bit more, since that was such an important conclusion of this. What is the effect of the length of time?
Well, we had hoped that we would be able to detect a threshold to be able to say, well, how much is too much? And we really couldn't do that. What we have is a linear association. You know, the more hours, the more behavior problems, and that effect just increases gradually. But still, again, to put the findings in some kind of context, even if you look at the children who are in 45 hours a week or more, still about 85% of them don't have above average behavior problems.
Well, does this study account for factors that are hard to quantify, like a child's temperament, and the child's temperament before they've ever gone into daycare?
We did look at that. What we do is we control for variables like that statistically. So we try to isolate their effects and see whether or not ours has an effect above and beyond temperament. And it did in this study. And if you look at the commentaries, at least one or two of them was criticizing the measure of temperament that we used. So not all of our measures, are necessarily the best. I mean, I think you could quibble with some of the measurement issues, but we did make an attempt to control for it.
One interesting finding, which seemed to affect a majority of the children, if I recall, and a pretty large majority of the children, is that toddlers in daycare experience more stress.
I don't think we found that in our study. We didn't measure the stress of the toddlers per se.
Oh, okay. All right, then I must have read that elsewhere. But I thought there was a finding about the level of stress for kids in the afternoon. There was a measurement of that was not in this study?
No, that's a study that Megan Gunner and her colleagues did at the University of Minnesota.
Okay, have you looked at that, and do you have any comment on that as well?
I have looked at that. They measured stress by looking at cortisol levels in children's saliva samples, and cortisol is an index of stress. And they do find that the stress levels of children, especially toddlers in child care, increase throughout the day more so than children at home. It's a very provocative finding. It's a new finding. It's one that warrants replication, and I think that lab is in the process of doing that.
What makes certain kids more susceptible than others to bad behavior after a daycare experience? Have you been able to pinpoint that, really?
I don't think, there are a lot of questions like that that are really important that go a little bit beyond the analyses that we were able to do. I think many of the researchers on my team, I mean, we certainly believe that temperament is important and that some children are just born a little bit more difficult. They have a harder time settling down. It's likely that they're more stressed by some kinds of child care environments, especially chaotic environments, but I can't say that based on our data. It's likely, but we didn't uncover it.
We're talking about the effects of daycare on children and the findings in a new study on that subject. If you'd like to give us a call, we're at 1-800-989-8255. And let's take a call from Amy in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Amy.
Hi. My question just had to do with thinking of all the different variables that were looked at in this study. I'm wondering if some of the variables that were separated out had to do with separation from the mother versus being around a lot of children. The reason I wonder that is, is it possible that children simply are more aggressive when they're around a large group of kids? And what that might say about kids that are singletons versus kids that come from, large families?
I think Amy's asking a very good question. In fact, one of the commentaries focused on whether or not stressful and unregulated peer involvement might be what is causing the risk here. And by unregulated, what we mean is that suppose children are misbehaving in child care and the caregivers miss it and don't socialize the children. Could those kinds of experiences be what's causing the risk? And we're looking at that and some follow-up analyses, and I hope to be able to answer that question for you soon.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for your call, Amy. And I just wanted to know, is it possible Is it possible that a parent can make an educated assessment ahead of time about how their child might react to daycare? I mean, given what we've just said, which is that, in fact, some kids might find it rougher than others to be in daycare. Can a parent make that assessment beforehand and if possible, make another decision about daycare?
Yes, or make a decision about the type of child care. So suppose you think your child is a little bit hard to soothe, a little bit difficult to begin with. Maybe you would decide to use a child care home setting rather than a larger center-based setting. Or maybe you would even try to get sitter care, where your child would have one-on-one care.
And I'm wondering, too, if a parent has a child in a daycare situation, what signs they could be looking for? What could they be looking for to indicate that this is a child who is having a negative reaction to the situation?
I think that's a really important question that you're raising. One of my important pieces of advice for parents about this would be that they should remember to monitor their children's development. So asking child care providers, how is my child doing? Watching at home, watching on the playground, does your child seem to be behaving in a more aggressive manner than other children you know? Is your child more disobedient or noncompliant to your requests? When you change child care arrangements, do you notice any kind of change in behavior? If you're monitoring, then I think you're in a position to do something about it. You can talk to the child care provider. You can talk to your pediatrician and try to get some ideas for what you can do to help calm down your child.
Let's take a call from Julia in Wilson, North Carolina. Hi, Julia.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to share my experience with you. I have a little girl who's almost three. She started daycare in a group setting when she was about one, and she became a biter, which was really hard for us to deal with because we felt terrible that our child was biting other kids, but we didn't know what to do, and since we weren't there, we couldn't really discipline her, and the daycare staff was not allowed to discipline her either. So it was hard for us to figure out a way to deal with that. What we ended up doing was the daycare staff would call us after a biting incident, and they provided a room for us to do whatever we wanted. They didn't suggest spanking, but they just provided us a space to discipline our child, and that ended up being the only thing that worked.
And was this a big behavioral change in her?
It seemed to be. She's a single child, and like the previous caller said, it's a big difference when you get kids in a pack. They act a lot different than they do on their own. But she never did it at home, so we couldn't really discipline her at home because she never did it with us.
Hmm. Kathleen McCartney, I wonder if you can respond to that anecdote.
Well, before joining the faculty at Harvard, I used to be the director of the Child Study and Development Center at the University of New Hampshire, and it is a preschool facility for children from birth through kindergarten. And I can tell you that you usually start to see biting at around age two, and you see it in some children and not in other children. It's hard to say with respect to your child whether or not it had something to do with the child care center or whether or not it just emerged at around age two. But what we would always try to do would be to watch the warning signs. You can often prevent biting. I mean, if you watch, you can see when a two-year-old is getting frustrated. Maybe they want a book that another child is holding, something like that, and try to do a preemptive strike. So I think there's lots that you can do as a child care provider. And again, in higher quality programs where the teachers have been educated and have been trained, they have better strategies for handling these kinds of behavior management issues.
All right, we're talking about daycare, its effect on children. We're taking your calls at 800-989-TALK. You can send us an email at totn@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. We're talking about daycare. How do you handle your child's emotional reactions to daycare and yours? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining our conversation now is Nora Newcomb, an expert in cognitive development and a professor of psychology at Temple University. She's with us by phone from her home in Marion, Pennsylvania. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
As we've already heard, Nora, this study, one of the findings of this study is that maternal sensitivity is more of a predictor of a child's behavior than anything. And first of all, let's talk about, so we want to focus in on that. What do we mean by maternal sensitivity? What define for us?
Right. Well, maternal sensitivity is really being aware of your child and your child's emotional state at any particular moment in time and being able to do something that will be supportive if support is needed, to leave the child alone if the child is happily occupied, basically to diagnose the state of the infant and or toddler and provide what that kid needs at that time.
And it's the mother that's the key. Are we saying the mother is the key here?
Well, mothers are key only because mothers tend to spend quite a lot of time with babies and toddlers and so forth. You can also see paternal sensitivity. You can see sensitivity of babysitters. Anybody who interacts with infants and toddlers may or may not exhibit sensitivity.
What suggestions do you have for parents who have a child in daycare and that child is either resisting going, having a very strong emotional reaction to it?
Well, I think you need to think about what's leading to the emotional reaction. Very often you do see transitory emotional reactions. We all have reactions as we adjust to any new situation. And you have to distinguish a transitory reaction from one that has some other meaning. You have to evaluate your own contribution to whatever upset is occurring. Very often, I think, mothers are upset when they're leaving their infants and toddlers, and sometimes they even do something to kind of elicit or support their infant and toddler in being upset. So you really have to be very thoughtful about what's going on.
When is there a point where, let's say a child is having a really difficult time separating from a parent at drop-off time at a daycare center, which is a pretty common experience, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When does that go from being a common, normal experience to a warning signal should go off in somebody's mind, either the daycare provider or the parent, that this has gone over into some territory that's really bad for the child? Is there a way of knowing that?
Well, it's how long it goes on for. It's how... In terms of day after day after day, it's how long it goes on for in terms of during the day. Very often what the daycare worker will report is, you know, the minute you were out the door, the child started putting together a puzzle. The mother needs to know that adjust appropriately. But if it is persistent, then I think it's of concern.
All right, we're talking about daycare and its effect on children. My guests are Kathleen McCartney of the Harvard Graduate School of Education and Nora Newcomb, professor of psychology at Temple University. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Steve in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment. My mom's been in daycare for 30 years, and when the child comes, sometimes they'll be kicking and throwing a fit, and as soon as the child gets here, the child is calm, will eat certain foods, will take a nap and do things, and then the child will go home, and the parents will say, you know, I can't get my child to eat that, I can't get my child to take a nap, or, you know, my child's just terrible, how come my child was good? And I think it's because the moms aren't consistent. My mom has set rules and does set things with the children and has a routine. I think the kids would almost rather stay with my mom than go home to their own parents. And I think that, like, the parents of the child don't spend the time and do stuff with the child.
Steve, we're gonna assume that you're not prejudiced at all about your own mom.
No. That's just my experience from being around her daycare for that long.
That's great.
She has 14 kids, and probably like 2 out of the 14 are that way, and the rest are fine.
All right.
In every batch of kids, she has children like that, and I feel it's not the parents should giving the kid the time and the chance.
Interesting. Let's hear our experts respond to that comment. That's a very interesting comment, and I'm sure your mom is the best.
Thanks.
Thanks for your call, Steve. Nora Newcomb, I wonder if you can just comment on that.
Well, actually, I think that comment brings up a very important point about the study that we're discussing, which is that it shows a certain effect, but it doesn't really isolate what the possible mechanism of the effect is. How does it work that more hours seems to lead to a slightly greater risk of a behavior problem? And one speculation we heard was that it's just being around peers all the time. Another speculation that I think at least is really worth thinking about is that to the extent that mothers and also fathers spend less total time with their child, they may not be as consistent. They may not develop the kinds of routines, the kinds of firm expectations, the kinds of discipline that this caller was talking about. It's sort of like you can stand your child being horrible for, you know, 5 hours a day. You could never stand it for 15 hours a day.
Interesting.
And, you know, it's speculative. It's just a thought that I have had about this study that I think it needs to be considered whether or not it's how the parents are acting that's part of the mechanism.
Kathleen McCartney, I'm wondering how you respond to that speculation.
I think that sounds completely plausible. It would be hard to study, but because you'd really have to be in the homes longer than we were, I think. But another point that Steve raised about his mother, who sounds like a wonderful child care teacher, is that we so often think about child care as a risk, but can it be an intervention? What happens when a child comes from an at-risk family and then finds himself or herself with a sensitive and responsive caregiver? Maybe we see better behavior as a function of child care experience in that case.
And let me pose a couple of email questions we have here to you, Kathleen McCartney. From Nathan, what about fathers? How come the study didn't include fathers? What role do they play?
I think that that is a very fair question and a fair criticism of the study. We did look at fathers. We just didn't look at them as often as we looked at mothers. And the reason is only pragmatic. As Professor Newcomb was alluding to earlier, mothers still tend to be primary caregivers. They tend to spend more time with their children than fathers do. And in fact, because this is a longitudinal study and we're studying children over time, more and more of our families are getting divorced. And so in many cases, the fathers aren't in the picture. We're just maximizing our resources by looking at mothers. But we also have observations of family interactions, and in future reports, we'll be telling people about those findings.
And Professor Newcomb, let me ask you about this email. I'm expecting a newborn in October and will have to work after birth. What are some of the special concerns about placing infants as opposed to children 2 years of age and older in a daycare setting, especially with regard to development and bonding?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are specific guidelines for what to look for in daycare facilities at different ages, and good daycare for infants is a very special kind of animal. Of course, some people don't choose what is commonly meant by daycare at all. They choose to have a babysitter in their home, or they utilize relative care and so forth. Basically, what you're looking for is sensitivity, as we discussed. You're looking for a good ratio of adults to infants, certainly not more than three infants to one adult, preferably, I think, not more than two infants to one adult. You think about how crazy mothers of twins go, and you can see why that's a good ratio. So it's a concern because good infant daycare is very expensive. So one needs to, you know, think through very carefully how you're going to get and how you're going to be able to afford good infant daycare.
And Professor McCartney, do you have anything to add to that and the question of infants, which is a very particular subgroup of children that we're talking about?
Yes, I would add a couple of things. One is if it's a group care setting, try to find out if they assign a primary caregiver to each infant, one person who's primarily responsible for the infant. I think that's advisable because it helps the child develop a close attachment relationship with somebody in the child care setting. The other piece of advice I would have for this person is, if at all possible, to try to take off 3 or even 4 months so that you and your infant can develop routines, expectations, so that the baby's sleeping through the night and so on.
All right. And just one more question for you, Nora Newcomb. Do you have any suggestions for strategies that parents could use to, for instance, make the moment of separation when the parent is leaving the child less traumatic for kids?
Well, I think that you want to have a routine and to keep to it and to have a positive expectation that you communicate to the child about how the day is going to go. And, you know, one thing that I thought of as Kathleen was talking, you really do want your child to develop a bond with the people she's spending time with, and especially if it can be, you know, achieved with one specific person. And a long time ago, when my daughter, who's now in college, was at the Temple Daycare Center, she used to come home smelling of this one daycare worker's perfume, and someone said to me, "Oh, isn't it like your husband coming home smelling of another woman's perfume?" And I said, "No, not all. I just think it's wonderful that Margie spends all this time holding her. That's what it means to me. It's mm-hmm. great."
But you know what? You raise a very interesting point that I was going to ask about, and either of you can respond to this. What about when parents do feel a bit insecure or a little threatened? They want their child to have a good relationship with a daycare provider or the babysitter, but they may feel that the child may get more attached to that person than to themselves. Parents can get a little insecure about that.
I think they can, and I guess the point of my story is that although I wouldn't like to share my husband, I think you can share your children, and I think your children can benefit from having really close relationships with more than one adult. So it takes some emotional work for, I think, mothers especially sometimes to think that one through.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Nora Newcomb is a professor of psychology at Temple University. She joined us by phone from her home in Marion, Pennsylvania. For many parents, successfully searching for good daycare can seem like a job all by itself. Joining us now to talk about how to find the right daycare for your child is Linda Smith. She's executive director of the National Network of Child Care Resource and Referral. She's with us by phone from her office here in Washington. Thanks for being with us, Linda.
Thank you for having me.
What are some of the resources that your group can provide to parents who are looking for quality daycare?
Well, we have several resources that we make available to parents. First, let me start by saying that in about 860 communities around the country, we have a resource and referral office that parents can call. And we highly recommend that parents link up with these agencies very early in their search for childcare, in part because in this country there really is no system of care, and so parents trying to find care for the first time are struck by this maze that they have no previous experience negotiating. So we recommend that they contact their local R&R first, but we here in Washington also have a national hotline called Child Care Aware, and I can give you the number. It's 1-800-424-2246. And if they're having trouble finding their local resource and referral agency, they can contact us at that number, and we will make sure that they can make that connection.
How much quality daycare is really available out there?
Well, that's a problem, and there aren't that many recent studies to quote, but the studies that are well known suggest that not that much of the care in this country is of high quality, and so that makes a parent's struggle or search even, you know, more difficult. We have materials that we send out to parents with checklists, and I was listening to your earlier callers. We have checklists for parents who are seeking infant-toddler care, parents who are seeking care for special needs children, and for a variety of types of care, and we would be happy to mail those out. In any event, finding high-quality care is not the easiest thing parents have before them. And so we really suggest that they look carefully at the checklist, and, you know, we can talk about what some of those things that they need to look for or look at are.
We're talking about daycare and its effect on children, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Why don't we go over that checklist? What should people be looking for quality daycare for their children?
Well, I think the first thing that they should look for, and I think your earlier callers, you know, sort of made this statement, the most important thing in childcare is going to be the interaction between the adult who is caring for the child and the child. And so I think to look at the qualifications of the person who's going to be caring for your child, to go into the area, if it's a family child care home, of course, that's easier because it's one person. If it's a center, they should go and visit the actual caregiver who's going to be taking care of their children. It's easy to look at the management and the rooms and things like that, and all those are important, but when all is said and done, the interaction between the adult and the child is the most important thing, and that's what parents need to focus on. Other things they need to look for are adult-child ratios, how many children is one caregiver.
And what's a good ratio?
A good ratio is going to depend on the age of the child, and I heard your caller earlier say 1 to 2 in terms of infant caregivers, and I think that is ideal. I loved her analogy to the woman with twins. But the reality in this country is probably more like 1 to 3 or 1 to 4 is going to be the ratio in a lot of child care. The group size, I think, is extremely important. You can have, for instance, and what we mean by group size is the number of total children with total adults. You can have a group size of 1 to 4, or you can have a ratio of 1 to 4, but if you have 40 children all in a room with 10 caregivers, the effect is still not good because it's overwhelming to children. So group size is important. I like to tell parents that first and foremost, they should ask about visitation policies, and wherever they're going to leave their child, they should be free to visit at any time. And we highly recommend that they do that, that they drop in unannounced to see what is going on with the care of their children.
What is there anything in particular that you would just sort of quickly warn parents if they see on one of those drop-ins? What would be a signal that something wrong is going here?
Well, I would say to look right away at ratios and group sizes and do counts and find out what's going on. I had a boss one time in an earlier life that asked me what was the thing to look for in going to visit a child care program, and I said, watch for a lot of crying, and he said, well, be serious, children cry. And I said, yes, children cry, but if you go into a child care program and there's, just a lot of crying, it's a sign that something is not being handled well.
Linda Smith and Kathleen McCartney, stay with us. We're going to continue this discussion on daycare when we return. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Here are some of the stories NPR News is following today. Congress is questioning CIA Director George Tenet behind closed doors today. The Senate hearing is focused on pre-war intelligence on Iraq. Also today, Palestinian police are back in control of much of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank town of Bethlehem under the terms of a new security agreement with Israel. You can hear more details on those stories today on All Things Considered. In a moment, we turn to this week's economic news, but first, a few more questions about daycare. My guests are Kathleen McCartney of the Harvard Graduate School of Education and Linda Smith, Executive Director of the Nation's Network of Child Care Resource and Referral. We are going to take a phone call now from, I believe it's Ever in Norman, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Good, thanks.
Great. I was just listening to the comments of the different persons in daycare. My children were raised in the 70s, so, of course, daycare has been a better situation. But what I wanted to say was I think with daycares, the main important thing for children is the caregivers, how they receive the children, how they interact with the children, how they relate to the children. That keeps down the crying, the biting, and most of the kids will have fun because when I was going to the daycare, I figured out very, very early to ask the children, what did the teacher do? Not what did you do. I'll ask a specific name or so and say, well, what did Evelyn do today? And then they tell me, and I've got their whole day down, and they had fun, and it was all in good, and that was that.
Whose child are you taking care of today?
Well, I am taking care of three wonderful ones, 7 and 4 and a year old.
Are they your grandchildren? Or?
Yes, they are.
And are you
fabulous.
Are you the child care provider on a regular basis?
I happen to be the child care provider this time. I had been a professional nanny for many years, and my children said, well, what do you think about working for us? And I said, well, I really don't know. And they said, well, we have benefits and all that. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it a try, and we come in with a preschool program early in the morning. They have activities throughout our community, and they kind of round the day up with a swim lesson. So we have it pretty well scheduled, and lots of leeway and lots of flexibility, and I have lots of fun just being that person that I couldn't be when I was raising my 5.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
I'd like to address an email now to Kathleen McCartney. This is an email from, I think it is Sujata in San Jose, California, who asks, I would like to know how the researchers measured mothers' sensitivity and quality of child care.
Well, we measure them by observing. So in the case of mothers, usually we were in their homes. Sometimes they were in our labs. And we would videotape them interacting with their children. So usually we would provide them with a set of novel materials. So we would be getting optimal caregiving behavior. And then we pore over these videotapes, and we have teams of raters making judgments about whether or not the mothers are harsh or whether or not they're responding appropriately and so on. With respect to quality of child care, because that was the major focus of the study, we went to the child care setting, whether it was grandmother's home or a university child care center, and we observed for 2 days, and we had a very extensive observation instrument where every 30 seconds our observers were recording whether or not behaviors happened, like the caregiver read a book to the child, the caregiver answered a child's question. Those kinds of micro behaviors we were looking at, and then we put them all together and came up with a global child care quality index.
All right, and just one last question for you, Kathleen, and that is, it is a very extensive study, as you've indicated, an ongoing study. So just what do we leave parents with at the end of this discussion based on what you've learned?
I'm really glad you asked me that. I do not believe that these data mandate a specific life choice for mothers and fathers. Instead, I think parents have to make choices that will enable them to be good parents. And for some, this means working full-time for the money, for personal fulfillment, or for both. For others, it means working part-time or maybe not working at all. And as we've already talked about, a second piece of advice I have is that parents need to monitor their children's development themselves, and if they see problems, get help for them and for their children as soon as possible. And finally, I think they need to remember that the quality of their own parenting is the most important predictor of their children's development.
All right. Thanks so much to both of my guests for being with us today. Kathleen McCartney is professor of education at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, and Linda Smith is the executive director of the nation's Network of Child Care Resource and Referral.